Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Ross Tucker. And it's time for Ask Ross. This is where we take your questions for Ross, and then the best question wins the KSN polo shirt. If you want to submit a question for Ross, really easy. All you got to do is download our app, Keystone Sports, and you'll see the Ask Ross button there. Or you can email us at info@ksnsports.net. Ross, are you ready for the questions?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. Let's start with Jay from Delaware. Hey, Ross, love your analysis. What do you think the playoff ramifications will be now that Oklahoma and Texas are leaving the Big 12? How do those two teams potentially joining the Southeast Conference impact the recent talks of a 12-team playoff? Seems like the playoff teams would suddenly need to include 2- and 3- loss teams because everyone in the Southeast Conference will be beating up on each other.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good question. And I think these two things do go hand in hand a little bit. I think they're going to be 12 college football playoff teams. I think Texas and Oklahoma realize there's going to be change in college sports. You know, there's some people that think there might not be an NCAA anymore. There are people that think that, you know, there's going to be 4 super conferences in Division I college football, and that they're going to govern themselves. I mean, it's kind of a mess, Jim, and nobody really knows exactly how it's going to end up. But change is coming, and it seems to me like Texas and Oklahoma say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get ahead of it. We're going to get ahead of the change now. We know this stuff's all going to go down. Let's go ahead and let's be the people that get into the best conference in the SEC, and we'll get the most money. And then if we lose a game or even 2, they're going to take 12 teams. So rather than having to win the Big 12 and have 1 loss at worst, you know, if we're in the SEC, we might be able to get with 2 or maybe even 3 losses. So I do think the expanded playoffs made a team like that even more willing to go to the SEC, because you're going to have several teams in that didn't win their conference. Whereas before, I think you kind of felt like, well, if we win the Big 12, we're undefeated. We win the Big 12, we have 1 loss. We got a great chance to go.
And I have so many thoughts on this realignment, but the one thing I want to mention with those two teams going to the Southeast Conference, with an expanded playoffs, I actually count 8 different teams in the Southeast Conference who would think they should be in the playoffs every year when there's 12 teams. They're not going to be 8 teams from the Southeast Conference. I think there's going to be a few teams there who are going to be really disappointed. And the way Texas has been playing the last few years, I don't think they're going to be a 2-loss team or even a 3-loss. I'm seeing like 4, 5, even 6 losses for a team like Texas. So
you might be right. I think I saw, Jim, where Jimbo Fisher said, careful what you wish for with them coming to the SEC.
Exactly. Well, just real quick, one of the projections for the conference where they had 2 8-team divisions and split them up, Texas would be in the same division with Texas A&M, Oklahoma, LSU. Right off the bat, that feels like 3 losses, not to mention Ole Miss and Mississippi State, and God knows who they would play cross-division. So, yeah, I think he has a point. Be careful what you wish for. All right, keeping with the same realignment theme, Brad from Perkasie says, with the Southeast Conference getting Texas and Oklahoma, who should the Big Ten look at if they look to expand?
That is interesting. Really interesting. I think it feels like the Big 12 will just sort of dissolve, right? I mean, it feels like there will be a Pac-12 a Big Ten, an ACC, and an SEC, and those will be sort of the four conferences, Jim. You think that's fair?
Well,
the four super conferences?
I think so, but here's my question. I'll frame it a little different about the Big Ten. Is who in the what's left over, the Big 12, would enhance the Big Ten at all? There's some talk of how about the Big Ten being bold, looking at some of those West Coast teams. Could you imagine the Big Ten pulling in, say, USC, Oregon, Washington, Stanford? Wouldn't that make a fun conference?
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, I guess and who knows what's going to happen, Jim. I guess in my mind, I felt like the ACC and the SEC and the Pac-12 and the Big Ten would just start poaching these other Big 12 schools. And, you know, maybe the Big Ten gets Iowa State and, you know, maybe Oklahoma State. Yeah, or Kansas because of basketball or whatever. And then maybe Pac-12.
One other note to put in, I'm not sure you're aware of, Ross. The Big Ten also has an academic standard. There's a certain certification they get. I think it has a lot to do with how much research the school does. And apparently that's very important in the Big Ten. So, you know, there's only a certain number of Big 12 teams that qualify with that, and Kansas is one of them.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, I didn't know that part of it. Kansas wouldn't, you know, I guess the thing is Kansas would really enhance the basketball and really give everybody a win in football, which is great.
Well, the problem with those leftover teams from the Big 12 is they don't move the needle at all. Texas and Oklahoma, they enhance the Southeast Conference and will bring more money in. Teams like Kansas and Iowa State, all they do is force the Big Ten to split the money, split the pie more ways. I think if it is about money, I think those West Coast teams are the only ones who could help out.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. If you're trying to enhance it and from a money, I mean, and let's be honest, Jim, that's what the whole thing is about, right? I mean, the whole thing is just one big money grab.
Exactly.
Especially now that they see the players are getting paid.
Well, and I'm not sure if ultimately, like you mentioned, the Big 12 going away, might it be a case where these teams all break away from the NCAA, which obviously has no power or control over this. Why don't all those best teams just make their own super conference, split it up to three or four divisions geographically? But we'll see about that. Let's see if we could get a couple more questions in. We got one from Ann in State College, who, by the way, it was interesting. Last week she was Ann from Ann Arbor. So she explained she grew up in State College, but she's living in Ann Arbor, where she says they do a lousy job of reporting on the Nittany Lions, so thanks for keeping me up to date. I'm clearly confused about the NCAA rule regarding the 25-player limit for recruiting classes. I was thinking Penn State would have to drop a player or two that they already have committed. Can you explain how we get to 26 or even 27 recruits in a class?
Yeah, so I guess it all comes down to, like, when they enroll and how you count them, and you can, like, back count it. I mean, there have been people that have been signing more than 25 for years, and they just figure out a way to have a couple guys come in second semester or enroll early, and then they back count it in the previous class, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think years ago they called it gray shirting when they'd hold the guy off. But now with the early enrollees, I believe you could push them forward. So if say they get 27 guys in the class of 22, those that enroll early, I think they could push them into the 21. They could count them against the 21 class so that they don't go over the 25 limit. All right. Next up is Mike from Colorado, who says, "Hope you're having a great summer, Ross. Is this the year the O-line finally gets over the hump to be an asset? What are the best and worst case scenarios for them?"
I don't really agree with the question or the premise of the question. I thought the offensive line was an asset, Jim, back in 2019. They took a step back last year, which was disappointing, but the offensive line was very good in 2019. You know, they put up a bunch of points. We all remember, you know, what Journey Brown was able to do late in the year. So I don't agree with the premise of the question. I will say there's an interesting trend with Penn State's offensive line. It seems like, Jim, when I lower my expectations for them, they exceed them. You know, like the year after Bates and McGovern went to the NFL, I thought, oh, they're going to take a step back. They were better than they were with Bates and McGovern as a group. Last year, with so many guys back, everybody other than Gonzalez, I really raised my expectations, and they were worse. So this year, after losing Mennett and Fries, you would think the expectations should be a little lowered, both those guys getting drafted. But I wouldn't be surprised if they come out, and especially in year two, under Phil Troutwine, end up coming out and playing really well.
What do you think Troutwine's effect will be on this team? You know him. You've talked with him. What effect, especially in year two, when year one he didn't have much time with him because of COVID?
First of all, he'll have a better sense and feel of their skill set and what they're bringing to the table, you know, because he's had a lot more time to work with these guys now. So he knows them better. And then they know him better. They know what he wants better. They know the scheme better. They know his techniques better. They've had a full off season, you know, the winter conditioning, the spring, the summer, to work on those techniques, the muscle memory that goes along with that. And I think that's significant. Plus, they've got everybody that'll play for them has gotten time, right? Rashid Walker, Dez Holmes, Miranda, Scruggs, Caden Wallace, all those guys have played. And I wouldn't be surprised if Eric Wilson, the Harvard transfer, is in the mix in one way, shape, or form. They've all played. They've all gotten time.
All right. That is it for quarter number three. And Ask Ross, stick around. Quarter number four, Andy returns, and we'll name our winner. Stick with us. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Hey y'all, it's Blake Shelton here, introducing y'all to the all-new American Brewed Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade. Made for days when schedules are empty and coolers are full, Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade is a perfect choice for celebrating good times. Available now in four Heartland-inspired flavors. Check out smithworksusa.com for a store nearest you.
Premium malt beverage with natural flavors. 5% ABV. Copyright 2021 Smithworks Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.